Monday, everyone, and welcome to the 8th edition of the Split Decision Podcast. Alongside me here is Hayden Trupish. Actually, you're not alongside me, but you're via Skype again this week. But my name's Tyler Bennett. Hayden, does this feel like the first week in a while we've actually got something kind of solid to talk about? Just maybe go through what we've got in store today, because I'm pretty excited about this week's podcast.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good week for news. We got the Floyd Connor fight. We got some pretty interesting NBA trade talks and pretty historic home run streak right now.
Yeah, for sure. Let's begin with the fight, because that's the most recent thing that happened. Probably the biggest thing as well. You and I both watched the fight. We didn't illegally stream it. We did
despite
for about
our best 50 efforts.
Yeah, we tried, but it didn't work out for us. Were you shocked at all by the end result, or do you think it kind of just went the way you thought it would?
I thought that Floyd wouldn't be able to knock McGregor out simply just because of his height disadvantage and his reach disadvantage. I thought he'd just connect more punches on fewer attempts and just kind of win by the cards, but I just wasn't really planning on Floyd really taking Connor that late and tiring him out so much. I was surprised by the knockout, but I wasn't surprised by who won.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, Floyd Mayweather's had, what, 4 knockdowns in the last 12 years? I mean, that's hard to say that he's going to knock someone out by those numbers.
Yeah, he's definitely become a lot more technical after, like, he started his career as a pretty big knockout fighter, but he transitioned pretty quick into just being more defensive and just kind of living and dying by the judges.
Yeah, and you know what? You got to give props to Connor, though, because, I mean, he won the first 2-3 rounds, I think. The first round, for sure, because he landed that huge uppercut. Did you expect Connor to hang with him that well, at least for the first half of the fight?
You know, I did. I thought Connor would come out a lot better. I think he'd have more energy. He'd have kind of like a bit more to prove. And I think Floyd was really just trying to feel out how Connor's boxing skill, like what level it's actually at. So I wasn't surprised by the first round. I was surprised Floyd waited till the fourth round to actually try and win, but I think he might have just been trying to tire him out, like you said, after the fight.
So Connor landed 111 punches on Floyd Mayweather, and Manny Pacquiao landed only 88, and Connor did it in 2 less rounds. Is that a stat that stands out to you, or is that just because Floyd maybe ducked Pacquiao a little bit more than McGregor?
Yeah, I definitely think Floyd is playing a bit more cautious with Pacquiao. But I think what those numbers suggest too is just why Connor got so tired so early. He was really like giving it to him, and I mean, you'll see the attempts too. He had a crazy amount of attempts. So I think he was really just trying to throw everything at Floyd and just hope he can kind of knock him out as an old man. But I mean, Connor's got pretty good strength, so I'm not really surprised that he landed more punches than Pacquiao.
Yeah, for sure. And then I was just going to touch on, you know, with I think the best part of the fight might have been Connor trying to throw hammer fists, but also it seemed like late in the fight, Mayweather was not only turning his back to McGregor, but ducking as well. Do you think that's because for some reason, I mean, the ref was kind of, he was eyeing McGregor the whole fight without a doubt. But did Mayweather get away with some stuff too?
You know, I think what he was trying to do is almost goat Connor into, you know, trying some UFC style stuff on him. I think he was just trying to like shake him a little bit and try and get him forget a little bit of his boxing training that he's received over the last couple months. I think he's just kind of goading him to saying, like, you wish you could hit me right now, but you can't, like, we're boxing. And I think it might have kind of started to annoy Connor just how many times he had Floyd in a perfect position if he was in the UFC, but since it's boxing, it was just another round, I guess.
Yeah. So then, I mean, this makes Floyd 50-0, the best record of all time. Do you think, I mean, he wore a hat that said TBE for the best ever. Do you think that Mayweather, this solidifies him as the best ever?
I don't think so. I think those years leading up to Pacquiao, of him kind of ducking all the major competition. I think more than anything, he wanted to stay undefeated his whole career, and I think that really showed in the latter half, where he's just kind of picking and choosing really specific fights. I mean, I think people will always respect the fighters that just go out and fight anyone they can. Like, people always point to Sugar Ray Robinson with his 128-1-2 record with 84 knockouts. So, I mean, people don't really, I don't know how many losses people really factor in when they look at that. I think they really factor in how many times do you go out and win a fight type of thing.
Yeah, for sure. And then on the other side of the coin, do you think McGregor will ever return to boxing, or do you think he's probably just gonna stay in his lane from now and just fight in the UFC?
You know, I could definitely see him returning, but it'd have to be for another major paycheck. I don't think he'd do boxing again for much less than like $30 million. So I don't really see anyone that's that big of a draw right now in boxing to warrant that much of a payday. But I think if he could find it, I think he'd do it again. I think he probably enjoys it more than UFC, but he probably would lose again if he fought another really strong boxer.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, that pretty much covers everything on the fight. The other big news this week that we've been waiting for what seems like weeks is the Kyrie Irving trade, which happened a day after we did last week's podcast, of course. So it was basically, I mean, you pretty much have to live under a rock not to know the trade by now, but Kyrie to the Celtics for Isaiah Thomas, Jae Crowder, Ante Zizic, and Brooklyn's unprotected 2018 first. Did it surprise you that it was to such a big conference rival like the Celtics?
You know, I think the Celtics were probably one of the last teams. I mean, like, you know, I didn't expect them to trade to a conference rival, but when you look at what the Cavaliers were trying to get for Kyrie, it makes sense. I mean, most of the teams that would be willing to make a deal for him already dealt away their players for, say, Jimmy Butler or Paul George. I think if Kyrie had maybe come out earlier, like as all the Paul George, Jimmy Butler stuff was happening, they probably would have traded him to the West just to try and get him out of their conference. But I think at this point, the Boston was the only team left that had enough to actually trade for Kyrie.
That's true, I guess. It just surprised me that they trade him to the team who finished ahead of them in the standings last year, who they faced in the playoffs. Like, this could have major implications if the Celtics find a way to beat the Cavs next year.
Yeah, I like we put out an article reacting to it on splitdecision.ca, and you thought that the Cavaliers won the trade, whereas I thought the Celtics won the trade, simply from a perspective that they made the Cavaliers worse, while not getting too much worse themselves, not necessarily like asset wise they won the trade, but I think if, like, news is coming out now that the Cavaliers might like renege the trade and try and get more for Kyrie. I don't know how much more they want to win the trade by.
Well, I said they won the trade only because of the circumstances they were put under, considering that everyone knew that Kyrie wanted out, so they had no leverage going into these trades. And the fact that they got another star in return in Isaiah Thomas, and they got a 2018 first-round pick, probably a top-five pick, if not a top-three, top-one pick. I mean, that's pretty impressive, being that, again, they have no leverage going into trade talks.
Yeah, but yeah, the Celtics were also in a pretty bad spot with Isaiah's contract and just the kind of salary cap situation of the team as it is.
Okay, so our inbox question this week. I'm very happy about our inbox this week, because it's the last couple of weeks it took a bit of a downturn. Our inbox question was, did the Celtics give up too much for Kyrie Irving? Before I get to the numbers, Hayden, did the Celtics give up too much for Kyrie Irving?
I voted no.
Really? I thought you said yes at the beginning.
No, I think for what it accomplished, I think they did good.
Okay, so you are in the minority then, because we had 78 votes, 67%, including myself, say yes, they overpaid for Irving, 33% say no. And the reason why I say yes is the same thing. It's under circumstances they could have given up less, because really the Cavaliers are the ones who have to make the move.
Yeah. Well,
in the first place.
I think you're going to see a bit of a regression on Isaiah's part, and I don't think Jay Crowder will have as much of an influence coming off the bench as he did starting. And then just the center, I don't really see him making much of an impact on Cleveland. So basically, it was just improve your point guard for a first round pick type of trade to me.
Okay. Well, don't say I agree with it, but we'll take that and move on. Another name that I didn't think we'd be bringing up this week in the basketball world is Kobe Bryant, considering he's retired. But apparently he's been challenging current NBA players to these challenges on social media. Maybe go through what he's challenged some people to do here.
Yeah, so the man we were just mentioning, Isaiah Thomas, he challenged Isaiah with trying to make the All-NBA first team, which... that'll be a bit of a challenge being at the point guard spot. It's a pretty loaded position right now. He challenged DeMar DeRozan to rekindle a lost friendship from your youth in Compton. So kind of an odd challenge there. He challenged Kendrick Lamar to revolutionize the music program at your high school. And challenged a female sprinter to coach the Special Olympics sprinting team. So... just kind of all over the place. Just, I think it's probably just people he's friends with, and he kind of wants to give them a bit more of a spotlight. He also came out today and challenged John Wall to make all defensive first team. So he's got some pretty lofty expectations of some point guards in the East. But I think it should be fun to see how many of these play out.
Yeah. My favorite one, I think, was to Giannis Antetokounmpo to win the MVP next year. Do you think that's a reach, or do you think it's actually possible?
Well, it depends on how well the Bucks do. I'm not sure where they finished last year, but I know that what's their player's name? He was drafted second after Wiggins.
On the Bucks? Yeah. Oh, Jabari.
Jabari Parker. Depends on how well he comes off of injury, because I know he averaged 20 points for the first time last year. And if he comes back full strength, the Bucks could probably contend for a fourth or a fifth spot. And I think if they get there, he'll probably be in the same position as Westbrook last year, where it's just how good can he make his stat line look. And I think Giannis is pretty good at stuffing that stat line, so he might have a chance at MVP. Plus, he's an up-and-comer, so they might give him the nod.
Yeah, I think Giannis has a shot, but it's pretty tough to win MVP with guys like LeBron, KD, those kind of guys in the league. But nonetheless, we'll see what happens there. Quickly to baseball, not much to talk about this week. I mean, there was that Yankees-Tigers brawl, which was amazing. The story right now is Giancarlo Stanton. He's at 49 homers. He's been crushing the ball as of late. Do you think that he'll hit 60 by the end of the year?
He actually got his 50th today, so that puts him a little closer. And then with 33 games left, I think he does stand a shot. I mean, I think teams want to see him do it, so I don't know. I don't think he'll be getting intentionally walked too much. They'll probably give him some pretty bad pitches, but I think he can probably get 10 home runs in 33 games, barring any injuries.
Well, and the good thing for Stanton, I guess, is in terms of the walks, is that he's on the Marlins, which means there's not a lot of great hitters around him, which might not actually factor in well for the intentional walks, but also that there won't be any open bases to walk him either. It's not like he comes up with a lot of guys in scoring positions, so I don't think a lot of teams will walk him just because... You know, there's a guy on first base or there's nobody on base. He might as well pitch to him. And the Marlins aren't usually threatening in a ball game, or at least as of late they've been okay. But, you know, I think that teams will give him a shot, and I think he will hit 60 given that he's hitting a home run every game or two right now. So it looks good for sure. I think he's got more than enough time to do it.
Yeah, Yeah, and I mean, this is like people have been speculating for quite a while now that he had this potential. He just kept getting injured every single season. So if he can just hold off that injury until the end of the year, I think this will finally be his year to do it.
And then with the Marlins ownership being kind of a dumpster fire right now, do you think that this is a good time for Miami to cash in and start a pretty big rebuild by moving Stanton in the offseason?
I mean, his value will be the highest it's ever been. He is on a pretty crazy contract. I forget what it is, but I think it's like 15 years or something. Like they signed him to a really huge contract, so there's probably only four or five teams that could realistically trade for him. But I think if they move him at the end of the offseason, they'll definitely get some pretty good value for him.
Yeah, so I don't think they're going to trade him, but if they're going to ever trade him in the near future, now is the time. And with the Marlins ownership, I mean, you just kind of never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, and I just looked it up. It is a 13-year, $325 million contract.
Ooh, that's
So,
not bad.
he's got some money locked away for a while.
Nice. Well, we'll keep an eye on the 60 track as we keep moving forward here with the podcast. We haven't talked about video games, or at least not extensively in a while, but you and I both made a purchase this week, Madden NFL 18. What I mean, you had 17, right? You had last year's game too. I haven't had one since 16, but before I get to my thoughts on the game, I'll let you talk first about what you feel about it so far.
It's definitely not too much of a shift gameplay-wise from last year. They're still using the same rack catch, possession catch, aggressive catch style for passing. Play-wise, it's pretty much the exact same as last year. What they did do is they added a couple new modes, and one of the modes is long shot, which I know you've been playing quite a bit.
Yep. Before we get to long shot, though, because I think that deserves its own kind of time. Compared to 16, I mean, it blows things way up in terms of what you're able to do. Because Madden 16 kind of turned me off because it's basically you do Madden Ultimate Team. I didn't really know there was the solo challenge kind of thing, so I went online and got my ass handed to me. And then there was franchise, like that's all it kind of felt like there was there, and I guess you could play now, but for me it just felt very hollow. I don't know.
It was pretty close to just being a two-mode game a couple years ago, but
Yeah.
they really stepped it up this year. And I mean, they added a mode that really it's really similar to a game mode that we love on NHL called I think it's called Mutt Cooperative, and allows you to play in three-man teams against other three-man teams online. And we've been struggling, but it's been fun.
Yeah, Mutt Squads is what it's called. And yeah, it's between Mutt Squads and Long Shot, I mean, it's the best Madden game I've had probably since Madden 12, which I think is still my favorite, but still I haven't put it down very much. I know you haven't put it down very much. I know our friends who aren't even into football that much haven't put it down very much. So obviously, I think this is probably the best game in a while, and if you I'd say if you're on the fence about it, I'd say this is the year to do it.
Yeah, for sure. I think they really improved, kind of giving you a lot of different ways to play it as well.
Yeah. So, long shot. I finished it last night. I stayed up till like 5 in the morning to do it. You're not done yet, but what is your thoughts on the mode in general?
You know, I think it's okay. I think it could have been. I think it'll be dramatically improved for next year. Like this is the studio's first attempt at a story mode driven career mode. So I think next year will probably be a lot better. I think they probably would have made it a lot better if they gave you more real choices instead of just the illusion of choice. But kind of acting wise and story wise, it's not bad, and it's definitely a good, like probably 3 to 5 hour experience.
Yeah, no, it's extensive. But as good as the story is, it gives you choices. Like, it tries to make you feel like you have choices.
Yeah.
And in the end, you really don't.
Yeah. Like, early on, I know me and you, we did something different here. So they offer you a chance at going on this game show. And you accepted the opportunity, and I said I wanted nothing to do with it, and somehow we both ended up on the game show. So you can kind of tell like where the game needs you to go, but yeah, I think it's still a pretty good mode.
Yeah, well, I knew that it was gonna push me into doing the mode or the game show only because it was called Long Shot and. That's what the name of the thing was. So, and I was even lenient at first to do it. Like, I with the choices thing, was, like, lenient about doing it. I was like, no, I'd rather go to the Super Combine, blah, blah, blah. And then my guy just picked up the phone and was like, yeah, I'm in. Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm doing it then.
Yeah.
So as good as the story is, if they want to make it choice-based and not just, like, a playthrough, they should make different outcomes. And the way it ended, there might be different outcomes at the very end, but... Yeah. Leading up to it, I mean, it's pretty much just, you know, you could be angry or happy. It doesn't really matter in the end.
Yeah, I think they're going to see, like, I think they're going to see a lot of interest in this mode from the community, and they'll probably build on it quite a bit for next year. And that's all you can really hope.
Yeah, I'd say a good first crack.
Yeah.
But improve on it next year.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've been seeing constant improvement in the My Career story from NBA for a while now, so I expect the same from Madden.
I don't know.
Not a fan of Freakin' and Vibin'?
Was that 16 or 17?
I can't tell at this point. I think it was 16.
Yeah. I think... I'm trying to remember now.
This year was Orange Juice.
Yeah. See, I liked 16 better than 17.
Yeah.
So, maybe... I don't know. That's for another day. We'll go to the movie side of things. Another pretty slow week in movies, but some rumblings out of DC that they're making a standalone Joker movie that's not connected to the DC universe that's going to be produced by Martin Scorsese. What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, it's weird. DC kind of, like, they put out these news stories, and, like, they put out a 10-year film plan probably about 3-4 years ago. And then they've added, like, 6 movies to it since then. And they just seem, like, out of nowhere. Like, after they saw that Harley Quinn was a success in Suicide Squad, they just instantly gave her her own movie with Batgirl and Catwoman. And I haven't heard any news out of that since then. And now they're announcing this standalone Joker movie. And they say it might not even be with Harley Quinn and Joker actresses Margot Robbie and... And
oh, come on.
Jared Leto.
There you go.
So I don't really know what to make of it. I think if they do a typical origin story, it'll be a pretty bad movie. I think most of the point of the Joker character is you don't know his origin. So I hope it's not kind of like look at what this criminal did to his family. Now can you see why he's crazy type of thing? I hope it's more of like a psychological movie, but It's just really weird to see the direction DC goes in every week.
Yeah. Do you think that DC, you know, after the success of Wonder Woman, they're just kind of shooting themselves in the foot again?
I think DC just has absolutely zero stomach. Like, I think they're just going to keep pushing out stuff. Like, I think they're just nervous about everything. Like, they just want to be successful so bad that they'll do anything at this point. And I think they just need to stick to their universe that they've made and just hope that Joss Whedon can kind of correct the Justice League into being a pretty good movie and then just build on it from there. I don't really see a point to it, because now they're saying the Batman movie that Ben Affleck will star in might not even be connected as well. So it's a really weird situation they've found themselves in.
Yep. And then staying on the topic of movies, apparently news coming out that it was the worst box office this weekend in 2 decades. Does that surprise you at all? It doesn't surprise me, but does it surprise you?
Yeah, it's not really. Well, I mean, it doesn't surprise me based on the movies that are out there. The highest grossing film this weekend was The Hitman's Bodyguard for the second week with only $10.1 million leading ticket sales. So Overall, the films in theaters this weekend grossed $65 million, which is the lowest total since September 2001. And I think people had a little bit different things on their mind in September 2001 other than movies. So that just kind of shows you how bad this weekend was. But maybe it'll be a wake-up call. I mean, I doubt it will be, but it's been a pretty bad stretch for movies here lately.
And you know what's going to save the box office since September 2001 is the movie 9/11 starring Charlie Sheen and Whoopi Goldberg coming out in a couple
And
weeks.
Luis Guzman. I think I might have to splurge and see it.
I'll probably have to have something to drink if I want to see that movie.
Sneak something in. Yeah, I think she'll
Oh.
probably be the only one in the theater, so I don't think anyone will be judging you.
Probably, yeah. Oh boy. But I mean there's a couple good movies coming out in a little bit. We still have a couple more weeks. We have Blade Runner in
Gearing up for
October.
Oscar season here, so.
Yeah, there's one big one in September too that I just can't.
There's It coming out soon, as well as
Yeah.
Mother by Darren Aronofsky. So, couple big names, big directors have some movies coming out soon, but it's definitely been a slow end of the summer. And I think like it surprises me the most that Kingsman: The Golden Circle didn't come out at the end of summer. Like it's coming out mid-September, which I don't really understand why, because I think it would have done pretty crazy successful if it came out right around to Hitman's Bodyguard.
Yeah.
But just seems like a weird spot to place it, but.
Yeah, that was the movie that comes out in September. That's the big one for me, and then Blade Runner's in October. Technology news, not again much this week, but apparently the next update for the Apple Watch has been leaked, and for you and I guess there's some surprising stuff on there.
Yeah, they're adding a bunch of new workouts to the Apple Watch operating system, which is a pretty welcome update. They're adding a whole bunch of sports, like they're adding soccer and badminton, tennis, baseball, basketball. And I know we've been kind of just using the other or like outdoor walk when we play basketball, but this will definitely be kind of a welcome update.
Yep. Lastly, before we go, Bethesda could be making. Did I say that right?
Bethesda.
Bethesda.
There
So
you
it is
go.
how it's spelled. They made Elder Scrolls, right? I never
Yep.
played them, but
They're the makers of Elder Scrolls and Fallout.
right. So apparently, their next ventures could consider Game of Thrones, maybe?
Yeah, so Fallout 4 came out, I think, 2 years ago now.
Something like that, yeah.
Either way, I'm not too big of a Fallout fan. I am a pretty big fan of Elder Scrolls, so I'm excited for their next game, which is scheduled to be an Elder Scrolls based on their pattern. But a recent Target website leak might indicate that instead of going back for Elder Scrolls 6, they might just convert the series into a Game of Thrones series, which pretty similar to Elder Scrolls. I mean, both have dragons, both have kind of a lot of fighting and gore, so I could see it transitioning very well. I don't. Neither of us are really big fans of Game of Thrones, but yeah, basically, I'm pretty much interested in anything Bethesda makes. So I think they could make a really interesting game. And I think right now Game of Thrones is probably at its peak in popularity, so probably be some pretty huge sales too.
Yeah, I wouldn't indulge in it, but maybe I'll leave that one to you.
Yeah.
All right, so that wraps up another week of the Split Decision podcast. Pretty tight for time, but this one felt fresh just because we had something solid to talk about and not
Yeah.
rumors and speculations. So hopefully that continues as we move forward. No big movie releases next week, but I'm sure we'll have something in sports to talk about. And Hayden, you actually got something big coming up because you're heading out for Alberta this week. So before you go, wanted to wish you the best and safe travels. Hopefully Hurricane Harvey doesn't hit you over there, and
Pretty.
we'll keep doing these podcasts every week.
Yeah, I got a pretty big gap between me and the hurricane, so.
All right, so that's it for this edition of the Split Decision podcast. For Hayden Troopish, my name's Tyler Bennett. Stay tuned to all our stuff on splitdecision.ca, and we'll see you soon.